Poetry is not just art. For Northwest writer Laura Day, poetry is a way to tell a forgotten history, the history of her ancestors. Laura is a member of the Shawnee tribe, and she tells the story of her tribe through the eyes of Lazarus. Lazarus is a character she created, a composite of several of her ancestors. And Lazarus grew up during the time of the Indian Removal Act, when members of tribes west of the Mississippi were forced from their homes to make way for white settlers.
They would have probably seen soldiers burning down their fields as they left. They would have seen settlers ready to swoop in and take their homes and farms. And they would have been gathered often, you know, at knife point or at gunpoint into a small camp and held there for many days. And then they were forced to march all the way down into what is now Kansas. In that movement, many Shawnee died. And so I imagine Lazarus as a child would have seen that devastation.
Tribes experiencing freezing temperatures, starvation, illness. Laura tracks the life of Lazarus in her book, Tributaries. She read KUOW's Elizabeth Austin an excerpt of her poem, Lazarus Riding Home.
Waxy still cattle cars straddle the tracks. Deep in the corners, an arm slithers through the creosote-soaked slats. A child's dark eye meets mine through a knothole. My sorrel starts under me as I dismount. A young soldier hauls an axe and chips ineffectively at the chain that holds the cattle car doors together in a crooked embrace. The agent preens for the crowd, his starched collar growing dusky. Behold, the fearsome Modoc, that chain snaking down to the ground like a panther's howl. A scattering of men, dressed in prison stripes and leather, are bound at the wrists and watered from buckets held up to their chins. The youngest soldier, red-faced, points his rifle to the ground and swallows hard. A Modoc boy holds his sister and swings his legs on the station ledge, kneecaps massive against his slender limbs. I was that child's age when I walked from Ohio to Indian Territory, 18 months with my arms rucked up around my baby sister and my eyes locked on my mama's shoulders, harried by soldiers and agents. So many times I heard them call, "If you slow us down, swear to God, you're not worth bullets." After 50 years, this is what it tastes like. Thistles for wheat at the root of my tongue. The Modoc boy turns his sister's chin into his tunic, covering her eyes. And I draw stairs as I haul my body up onto the saddle to leave. Sometimes I need my mare under me to share the weight. Having grown old in that meager shelter of shadows cast by horses. Indian Territory, November, 1873.
That's Laura Day reading Lazarus Riding Home from her collection, Tributaries. Laura, what made you want to show us this moment in your ancestor Lazarus's life?
This moment was important to me because I think that it showed a few things. First, the American policy of genocide towards indigenous people and how it continued in a cycle again and again and again. I also saw accounts of Shawnee men who were sort of coerced into greeting the Modoc, and the Modoc were removed from Northern California and Southern Oregon much later than the Shawnee. But these Shawnee men were sort of coerced into greeting this tribe on their horrifying removal into the same sort of slice of Indian Territory, which would have been northeastern Oklahoma. And I found it to be a very profound image. I wondered what that could possibly feel like to see the deepest horror of your memory replayed again right in front of you.
Earlier, you mentioned how this is a chapter of American history that is not told much. Why was it important to you to offer this sort of counter narrative?
The primary reason that it was important to me is that my ancestors survived this chapter, and I wanted to honor them in any way that I could by just trying to tell the story of what they survived. The other reason is that I actually think that these events of the past have a lot of consequences for the future and present. So I believe that looking carefully at the counter-narrative of race in America is something that is going to be beneficial for everybody.
What do you mean that it has consequences in the current time?
When I think about populations being singled out by race, I think about what has happened in America historically, and that we have lessons to learn from what has already occurred, the devastation that has already been wrought by removal, identification, genocide. I hear quite a lot about, you know, this happening again, and I believe that looking carefully at our nation is a way to make sure it doesn't happen again.
So you are writing this series of poems about events that happened during the 19th century. How did you research the poems?
I went about research in a way that I wanted to honor my ancestry. So when I did my research, I made this kind of decision that above everything else, I would honor accounts from my family and tribe. So I tried to talk to my aunts and uncles. I tried to talk to folks down in Oklahoma who are in the Eastern Shawnee tribal population. And as I listened to their stories, I tried to give that as much weight as any kind of scholarly research that I might have done. I also looked very carefully at the first historical documents of removal. So during Indian removal, the government agents were obliged to keep an account. And I did look through the account of the removal of the Eastern Shawnee, and it was profoundly painful, but very important, I think, for me to read what the people who were removing my ancestors felt about them.
So history purports to present a quote-unquote factual black and white depiction of events. And poetry, of course, is something that we as listeners participate in the meaning-making. There's, as we've discussed, there's associative leaps, there are images. How does poetry convey the essence of the story in a different way?
I think one of the ways that poetry conveys this story is I think it sort of attacks the historical narrative. And I want it to compel some curiosity about that black and white nature of history by showing that, you know, potentially this, as to me as a Shawnee person, this may be a truer account of what happened than what I can see in a history book. So I hope that poetry creates ambiguity about the dominant narrative of history, and I hope it creates curiosity and questioning about what actually happened.
Laura Day is a Northwest poet and writer of the American Book Award-winning book Tributaries, a collection of poems that feature stories about her ancestor, Lazarus. If you want to hear Laura read the full poem, that'll be at our website later today, kuow.org.